my dearest dear, the time has come when we must part. No one knows the inner grief of my poor aching heart. All what I set sail or sank for the one I love so dear. I wish that I could go with you, or you could tarry here. I wish my breast was made of glass, and in it you might behold your name in secret. I would write in letters of bright gold, in letters of bright gold, true love, pray believe me what I say. You are the one that I love best until the dying day. The crow that's black, my dearest dear, will turn its colors white if ever I prove false to be the brightest days tonight. The brightest days tonight, true love, all the elements shall mourn. If ever I prove false to be, the raging seas shall burn. Your company, my dearest dear, your company to me makes me think when you're away that every day is three. Every day is three, true love, and every hour ten makes me weep when I should sleep and say I've lost a friend. So when you're on some distant shore, think on your absent friend. When the wind blows high and clear, a line or two pray send. When the wind blows high and clear, pray send a thought to me, that I might know by your hand write how time has gone with thee.
That was a tune called Every Day is Three from a CD called Josh Billings Voyage or Cosmopolite on the Cotton Road, featuring vocalist Tim Erickson and a bowed banjo. Tim Erickson has been on the show a couple times before, and he is back with his Trio de Pumpkin Town for a performance tonight at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, along with the local string band The Young and the Fretless, who will open the show at 6:30, and then Tim and the trio joining at around 7:30. Tim Erickson is an interesting character. He's sort of a former punk rocker who has really spent most of his time lately bringing forth some really old music, or at least old American music, 18th, 19th century, shape note music, gospel tunes, all kinds of other things that are represented on this CD in sort of an interesting way. With there's a fair amount of fiction on this CD, and I'm not at all clear on how much is true and how much is not so much, but maybe we'll find out. In any event, Tim Erickson, Zoe Darrow on fiddle, Peter Irvine on percussion, they're all with us live in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here again.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, welcome back, Tim. It's a pleasure. The trio to Pumpkin Town. I guess the first thing we have to ask is, what and where is Pumpkin Town?
Pumpkin Town is a fictional village in New England. It's not too far from where we live. Not all that close either, but...
And where you live is a
Western Massachusetts,
a
Hampshire
place.
County. Yeah, we live in the actual town, the Hampshire County. Pumpkin Town is in the non-actual Springfield County, which is nearby.
You know, I actually Googled Pumpkin Town, and you come up with a great many actual places.
There's a couple of things. There's a pumpkin farm in Connecticut. There's a town in Kentucky, I think. Our Pumpkin Town doesn't have their own website up yet.
My first thought with Pumpkin Town had to do with the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, they got a couple of those.
Did that have any bearing on the name of this place?
It wasn't not directly, but I think that Irving's choice of the pumpkin for the head of the Headless Horseman, you know, the pumpkin is sort of the like corn and turkeys and other things. It's so quintessentially New England. I think that's where that comes from.
Yeah, and Washington Irving, of course, story is set in New England or Eastern New York. I
yeah,
guess, really.
Right.
Hudson,
yeah,
Hudson River area. And what relationship does Pumpkin Town actually have to Western Massachusetts? I mean, it's kind of rooted in lots of things there, right?
Yeah, a lot of the music is similar, but it's kind of through the looking glass. I never really recognized the so-called actual New England growing up in it. When people talked about it, it just never seemed real to me. And Pumpkin Town seems a little more accurate to me. I think that it's for a long time. When New Englanders want to tell the truth, they go to a fictional village. So whether it's Grover's Corners in our town, or a lot of the 19th century fiction, Harriet Beecher Stowe, there are almost more fictional villages than there are real villages. And I think the flexibility that gives you to tell the truth is really freeing. You're not tied to any one particular version of the truth.
Do you have any examples? I mean, of ways in which the truth is told in some fictional place.
Because I know a lot of actual villages.
There are an awful lot of actual villages.
And there's not any one of them that tells the story that, you know, you can tell this story from this village and this story from that village. But there are so many stories. And, I think most folk music is from a fictional village of some sort. There's this kind of romantic nationalist idea that folk music is tied to. So it's sort of... whatever, Scottish music or Irish music or English music, it's always kind of from some unnamed village. And I just kind of decided I wanted to name this village, and even if it was fictional, to try to get at some things about the history of our region, the influences of that are kind of under the surface, like the African influence, the Native American influence, the influence of travel, all the kinds of different immigrant groups and musical influences that might not be present in any one village outside of Pumpkin Town. They all kind of converge in this fictional village.
So the music that is on this particular CD and that you guys play as a trio, some of it is traditional and some of it is composed by,
yeah, it's mostly,
by you?
It's mostly old songs, from the Northeast, and then a couple of songs that I made up. The next step in our work is going to be to preserve some of the music of the late 20th century in Pumpkin Town, some of the great bands who came up in the town, such as Weasel Stain, which is kind of a garage band.
Yeah, I read some of the names there.
So we're working on some cover songs, but we're not there yet. So far, we're pretty much playing our own stuff and traditional songs from the region.
Okay. Well, why don't we have first live example here? Of course, we let off with music from the CD, which, by the way, was just out last year.
Not too long ago, yeah.
Yeah. Which people can find on Tim Erickson Music. He says spells his last name, by the way, Erickson.
Thank you for that.
Versions of how to spell that name. What do you want to open with? Any introduction required?
We'll play a song called Boston. This comes from a an Irish Yankee named Timothy Connor, who was imprisoned during the Revolutionary War, and he wrote these words down in his diary, and we just put a tune to it.
I feel compelled to ask, probably with some regularity on today during this hour, was this his
Timothy
is a real
Connor
person?
Was on this side of the mirror. Yeah, that whole story was on this side of the mirror. And the tune is on the other side.
Okay, Tim Erickson and Trio to Pumpkin Town here on Live and Local.
As I was in Boston and Boston Fair Street, I made out my business, my true love to see. What ship, brother sailor, she said unto me. I answered and said, bound for England I be. All things being ready and fitting to sail, the wind at northwest with a sweet pleasant gale, we sailed along to our own heart's content, till our ship sprang a leak to the bottom she went. 35 hands all confined in a boat, all on short allowance then we went afloat. Provisions growing scarce and the time drawing nigh, we all cast lots to see who should first die. Oh, they all cast lots till they fairly should see which of them all. She was to be slain by this young man, her dear. Oh, hold your hand, butcher, then this young girl, she cried. Or are you for killing a harmless maid? A rich merchant's daughter from Boston I be. See what I've come to by the loving of thee. With that all the color flew up in his face, saying, oh my dear jewel, my heart it'll break. Saying, oh my dear jewel, my heart it will burst. In the hopes of your long life, then I will die first. Then they all cast lots till they fairly should see which of them all his butcher should be. Be quick in your office, thy business are done. But before the blow was struck, they all heard.
Well, with apologies for the interruption in the music, I hope you found that useful information. We did hear until that interruption live in our studio, the Trio de Pumpkin Town, who are Tim Erickson on vocals and guitar in that tune, and Zoe Darrow on fiddle, Peter Irvine on the frame drum, or in Irish music, you'd call it the bawron. And interesting sort of example of blending the present and the ancient, I guess, or even multiculturalism is a term that gets used a lot, and you sort of hinted at it, Tim, earlier with your reference to travel influencing your most recent CD and a lot of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, there's the kind of hyphenated multiculturalism, which is kind of usually what we mean when we mean multiculturalism. But even Yankee culture, which is kind of, you know, whatever, bedrock, at least in the American kind of stories, kind of the things from which other are multiple, the other things are multiple. But the New England culture itself is comprised of so many influences and so many really deep connections. The town, the actual town, the county that we're from was for like a 100 years or more was kind of pretty much an Anglo and Native American town. It was culturally kind of really mixed. And so that, I think, had a, those kinds of things, and the presence of Africans from early on and other people had such a profound impact on the culture and the sounds, the soundscape.
And in this particular CD, and I'm assuming in what you guys do as a trio live, not only do you sort of mix some of those traditions, but you also mix some music from other parts of the world that that may not have shown up in New England either then or now. And in fact, I think you just picked up an instrument that's an example of that. Something. This is the bajo sexto, right?
It is indeed.
Which is a, well, it's a beautiful instrument for one thing.
It looks
more or less like a deep-bodied guitar, roughly the same size, but with, what, 12 strings instead of 6?
That's right.
And a little lower range?
Yeah, lower range. And
but from Latin America.
From northern Mexico and the southern, southwestern U.S., I was at a dance party of music called Wila, the Tohono O'odham people in, down in Arizona, and they don't recognize the border. I mean, their community extends across the border into Mexico, and I thought it was just a fantastic instrument. And I was living at in Minneapolis at the time, and I got home and I Googled bajo sexto in Minneapolis, and you know, found one, no problem. Like so many things, there's a few things kicking around that one might not expect unless you actually look for it. It's one of the things that's useful about the internet, I guess.
And what made you think that this instrument would fit in with these old ballads and other old songs?
I had been looking for an instrument that had the double-coursed strings, that had that nice ringing sound, but that was lower in pitch than the 12-string guitar, partly because of I wanted something that went with my voice, and partly I wanted something that didn't sound right away like a guitar, that maybe sounded just a little bit off kilter, a little bit otherworldly. So the kind of through the looking glass idea, playing music from this fictional village, where everything is just a little bit different, it kind of suited that idea.
But not, you wouldn't say that you're introducing Latin influences into this music.
Only to the extent that people are getting interested in the instrument, which has certainly been the case. People are pretty much at every show. Somebody comes up and asks me about it and says, "Oh, I got to get one of those." They're pretty unwieldy, but they're a brilliant invention.
Yeah, what makes them unwieldy? I read that you found it a little bit of a struggle to learn the thing.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I had to come up with my own way of doing it to fit the music that I was doing. So that was a challenge. But just physically, the neck is very wide. The strings are very heavy. And it just takes a lot of sort of brute force to keep the thing in line, more or less.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you have a huge hand.
It's about
a tall guy.
Yay big, yeah. It's just
so just getting around
just
it.
Just getting around it, yeah.
So it was built to play Latin music, essentially.
It was indeed. Conjunto and norteño, and it's just fantastically set up for that. And now it works well, though, for the Pumpkin Town music as well. It just took a while to.
So that would be a lot of strumming.
A lot of strumming.
And I'm guessing we're going to hear a different kind of play.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a sample?
Let's sing you The Wind and the Rain. Sisters in the valley near, all the wind and the rain. One was dark, the other was fair. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. They both loved the miller's son. Oh, the wind and the rain. But he only cared for the younger one. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. Sister, sister, walk with me. Oh, the wind and the rain. Walk with me to the old mill stream. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. The eldest pushed the younger in. Oh, the wind and the rain. She pushed her in just to watch her swim. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. Sister, sister, lend me your hand. Oh, the wind and the rain. I will give you half of my land. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. Oh, no, sister, I won't lend my hand. Oh, She floated up and she floated down. Oh, the wind and the rain. She floats till she comes to the miller's dam. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. By and then came a musician there. Oh, the wind and the rain. He saw her bones all bleached and fair. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. He made fiddle pegs of her finger bones. Oh, the wind and the rain. And he made a fiddle out of her breastbone. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. He made fiddle strings of her yellow hair. Oh, the wind and the rain. He sat down to try it there. Oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. He drew his palm across the strings. Oh, the wind and the rain. But the only tune that girl would play was, oh, the dreadful wind and the rain. All the only tune that fiddle would play was all the dreadful wind and the rain.
Tim Erickson, Zoe Darrow, and Peter Irvine, The Wind and the Rain. Original, not original.
No, it's an old, unfortunately, an old story as well as a story that, well, not exactly in that fashion, but it's, you know, an old kind of, well, I guess it's not really a murder ballad, but yeah, old story.
It's a recurring theme.
It's a recurring theme.
Why, unfortunately, you use the term unfortunately.
Just because bad things happen in it.
I thought you meant you wished you'd written it.
Well, that too, yeah.
Tim Erickson and the trio to Pumpkin Town. So we shouldn't even say Tim and the trio, because you make a trio with the three of
them. That's true.
In any event, they're going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight. The show starts at 6:30. The local string band, The Young and the Fretless, will be opening, and then Tim and company will be coming on about 7:30 for a couple of hours. And we're very pleased to have them live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. And it's time to donate your CDs, records, DVDs, tapes, and working stereo equipment to this year's vintage vinyl sale to benefit Illinois Radio Reader. You can take your donations of these items to any Busey Bank office in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, or Mahomet, or to the sales site itself at 40 East University Avenue in Champaign. For more information, call Dean Geiken at 217-333-6503. Tim, curious how you found your colleagues to form this particular trio.
Peter and I have been playing forever, literally since the Reagan administration.
Which doesn't seem like forever somehow.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. We've played together in a lot of different... We've been trying to remember, in fact, all the different projects we've played on. The first time we ever played together was a performance of Steve Reich's Terry Riley's In C. We played together. We produced the first ever album, CD of Oromo gospel music. We've played Bosnian pop and folk music. And Cordelia's Dad is the band that is by far the best known, which isn't saying much. But we've been playing together for a long time, and we sing Sacred Harp together.
And how about Zoe?
Zoe, we just kind of ran into. It was very, very, we were very fortunate.
Zoe and I, our first gig was playing for Vice President Al Gore.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I wasn't there. I was in the Czech Republic at that point, so I missed that gig.
What was that occasion?
Near the area where we live is Hampshire College in Western Massachusetts, and they got a new president at Hampshire College, and he's friends with Al Gore. So Mr. Gore came to speak, and they had some music.
And you got to play. You are not, certainly by no means, a political
band. Only Pumpkin Town politics.
Which consists of?
Very local.
It's very local. Mostly selectmen, you know, and arguing about the transfer station. Trying to keep the bears out and whatnot.
Well, Pumpkin Town, if you read the notes such as they are, that come with this CD called Josh Billings Voyage, you really have a hard time even guessing that this stuff is made up or that the history is made up. I mean, for example, you list a couple of players here, Silas Billings III and Reliance Pat Billings Knedlick. Are either of these people real?
Those are fictional friends of ours. Silas is the great, great grandnephew of Josh Billings, who is one of the best singers in town way back when. A lot of these songs come from.
Who, of course, is the namesake for this.
Yeah, that's right. But who is fictional? And Pat is sort of a cousin from over the hill, who's not a terribly good trumpet player. I probably shouldn't say that on the radio, but anyway.
But also fictional.
Also fictional, yeah.
So you can say whatever you want.
Well, you'd really think that, but it's not quite that simple. You
but
know?
But these are, there are in fact real people playing on here.
Oh,
besides
yeah.
the three.
There
of
are
you.
Several. Our good friend Laura Risk, who lives up in Montreal, used to play in Cordelia's Dad, is on there, and good bunch of Sacred Harp singing friends sing some harmony on there. And who else that's not fictional?
Garrett Sawyer plays
bass on there, yeah.
How, talking about bringing different kinds of music together, and you mentioned a couple of specific groups like Cordelia's Dad, and I mentioned at the outset, you know, that you spent some time as a punk rocker. I don't know how extensively. I mean, if one looked at you, someone would sooner guess that you played punk music than that you played this kind of music.
Yeah.
I mean, just from, you know, the piercings and the...
The only reason I don't now is that the gigs are too late and the equipment's too heavy.
In other words, you're getting old.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, but you've had an interest in this older music for a really long time, including back when you, however long ago it was.
Yeah,
that you were
I got interested in kind of unaccompanied ballad singing, South Indian music, experimental music, John Cage and stuff, at about the same time that hardcore punk was happening. So when I was a kid, all of these things kind of really, you know, when one is forming one's own musical identity and all that, things tend to get in and get lodged there. So all those kinds of music really made an impression and have kind of stuck. For a long time, I pursued them kind of along separate tracks. And they're starting to converge a little bit more overtly, I think. Some of the many years that I studied South Indian music, I tried to really not be the kind of hyphenated, world music player. But it's starting to come out more. I've played Veena for 30 years now.
Veena is?
South Indian seven-string instrument that plays Carnatic music, the kind of classical music of southern India.
Well, and you can hear something, even in that last tune, almost could imagine a drone just going on, you know, from what do you call that?
The drone tambura, instrument. Yeah. Yeah, or a Shruti box, yeah.
Harmonium.
Harmonium.
Harmonium is what I was thinking of. Yeah. And the tune from the CD with which we opened the show, you were playing a bowed banjo.
Yeah.
Could, had a bit of a sound of the guitar.
Yeah.
Sitar, I meant.
I just kind of decided to not worry about it too much anymore and just do whatever felt good, because one of the reasons why the fictional village is so... freeing is that there are kind of expectations about folk music that it needs to be, you know, this kind of, like, Hardanger is from Norway and this other kind of fiddle is from Sweden, and there's all these kind of national disputes embedded, and banjo, that's a southern thing, or, you know, this style is this, and it's all very I have these things in my body, in my memory, in my experience, in my friendships, and I don't want to be kind of fighting it out on the lines of what belongs where anymore. I just want to play from really, it's weird, but I want to play from the heart. And the easiest way to do that, really unapologetically, was to go to this fictional place.
And then you can do what you want.
I can do what I want.
But what you're doing has, I mean, there's no question, mostly from your voice, and of course the fact that the music does come from an older time. There's no question that it has its roots there.
Absolutely, and I've learned from so many people, and there's some things that I would not fictionalize, and it's sometimes a tricky line, you know, I think that's always there, even when you try to tell the truth, of course, you know, there's always, is that really the case, you know, so also kind of playing with that, just how hard it is to actually tell the truth a lot of the time.
Well, I see that Peter is lined up with his Glockenspiel, which is not something we've had on this show before. So.
All right, it's a first.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
I don't think so. So why don't we
let's do
go
it.
Right
since,
ahead.
Since we were talking about non-old songs and some of the influences from other places, we'll play one that I made up. called A Tiny Crown. When sea monkeys get out, you may feel nothing. When sea monkeys get out, you may once in my childhood bed I found a tiny scepter and a tiny crown.
A Tiny Crown, an original by Tim Erickson, who was the vocalist and guitarist in that particular piece, with Zoe Darrow on the fiddle and Peter Irvine on percussion, the instruments you heard, by the way. Bell sort of in the background, it was probably heard subtly, and then you might have heard a particularly eerie sound, which was using a violin bow, I assume, on a suspended cymbal.
Yes.
Which is a nice effect.
We're trying to get around to bowing everything. We've got one song where we bow the fiddle, the banjo, and the cymbal, but I'm trying to get around to bowing the microphone, trying to figure out a way to make that work.
I'm sure it can happen, but you got to take the pop stopper off it.
That's true. Or else it's like...
Yeah, exactly. So I would be hard-pressed to say that, or at least for myself, to find the influence of the older music in that song.
Really? Okay. Well, it's also partly just with this trio bringing things together through the instrumentation and the general kind of sonic place, you know, so that it's not radically juxtaposed. It's not a radical juxtaposition of different kinds of music, but finding an ensemble sound that has room for the old songs as well as some newer songs. And so that we can kind of take a little bit of a journey through some of the different things that we do.
I mean, I actually thought, if anything, I heard some contemporary choral writing.
Yeah.
You know, of any of a number of contemporary choral composers that I've encountered.
I mean, I listen to Ligeti as much as I listen to, I'm trying to think of somebody else that I listen to. You know, those other people that I like. or, you know, I guess, and there's also got this kind of classic Debussy-ish, I don't know. I came up with these chords just somewhat intuitively, but I'm sure that those, you know, those influences of all that kind of other music is in there. And I think Debussy with La Mer has forever put a stamp on what water sounds like for most of us.
And what about the text itself? I mean, where do the sea monkeys come from?
I don't know. They terrified me when I was a kid. And then we got some, and they never...
Those are those little things you would get mail order, right?
That's right. And they claimed they would do all sorts of things. They would learn tricks, and they showed them in their castle and wearing crowns and doing all this stuff. And then you get them, and you say, is that it, or is that a speck of dust? Did something just fall in the fish tank or whatever?
And they mostly just die.
They primarily what they do is die. And there was just something kind of sad and frightening about the whole proposition. So, like, I used to, you know, see him in the back of Archie comics and stuff advertised.
I was actually trying to remember if we were talking about actual creatures of the sea, and then I frankly forgot about those.
Yeah. But it's more just the, you know, a mood piece, I guess you'd say.
Well, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. I don't mean to, in my commentary, suggest that I didn't.
But no, it's all right.
It was really eerie. A really eerie kind of piece, haunting kind of piece, and I suppose even in that way you could say that it could have been influenced by some of these murder ballads, probably all of which certainly have some sort of haunting character.
I think of moral ambiguity or just some kind of ambiguity and a sense of threat, but also beauty and something that maybe for me is a point of contact between some of these kinds of music.
We're hearing Tim Erickson and the trio live on our show today. In advance of their appearance at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tonight is a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. Opening for them at 6:30 will be the local string band, The Young and the Fretless, and then the trio to Pumpkin Town are coming on at about 7:30 or so. Support for our broadcast today on FM 90.9 comes from 40 North, 88 West, presenting the 11th Annual Boneyard Arts Festival, April 11th through the 14th. With venues throughout the county, the festival, in conjunction with the local business community, is a celebration of music, dance, arts, culture, and theater. Information on this year's festival is at 40north.org. Tim, when you do your live shows, do you make much of a deal or any deal at all about this, the story of Pumpkin Town, or you just go play?
I tend to, things come to me, and we're learning more about the place, and we do mostly music from Pumpkin Town, but we do some other stuff as well, and you know, it's certainly not my intention to make people unhappy and confused, but. I think people have been responding really well to it. Somehow having the whole thing set in this fictional place I don't know if it makes it more filmic or something. It just seems in some ways a little easier for people to understand. I'm not exactly sure why yet.
Well, since this is a live show, but it's not a live show. I mean, we're talking around and about the music and so on, and letting you play a few songs now and then. But in the live shows, do you attempt to create a story over the course of a couple of hours?
No, we're going to work on that. I want to work with some people to get a more scripted piece together. But I tell some stories about the songs, and again, a lot of times it's not even clear to me what's true and what isn't. Just because of where I got the songs from or where I got the stories from. And it's kind of bits and pieces. You know, I tend to be kind of pretty explicit. You know, I recognize that I'm lying a lot of the time. But I'd sort of rather do that than be pretending I'm telling the truth all the time and being uncertain about it.
Except the gray areas where you forget which is which.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at a lot of the time.
Did you say that you grew up in Western Massachusetts, where you live?
I was born there, and I grew up on Long Island mostly, and then moved back to Western Mass, and I've lived in other places since then, but I always seem to gravitate back towards the river.
So we used the river meaning?
The Connecticut River, the valley.
The Connecticut River.
Yeah.
Were you influenced early by any particular performers, you know, who were exposing you to the older music?
Let's see.
I mean, most kids are playing rock music, and it sounds like you probably were too.
But. Yeah, I think I heard a lot of different stuff. My parents had a strange music collection, and they took me to strange things like kabuki opera and stuff when I was a kid, as well as symphonic music and new music and kind of everything. And I found punk rock on my own. They definitely didn't expose me to that, but it was, yeah, it was sort of dribs and drabs. It was other people's record collections. It was concerts that I attended. There, I didn't have a lot of epiphanies, you know, like musically. It was just sort of bits and pieces.
And did you, what did you do in school?
In college?
Yeah.
I have an undergraduate degree in South Indian classical music performance. And I have a master's degree in ethnomusicology or something.
Where do you get an undergraduate degree in South Indian classical music performance?
You go to a real college and make up a fake major.
I did that myself, but it was hardly as exotic as that.
Yeah. No, I went to Amherst College, and it was fantastic because they have five colleges there, and I was able to take all kinds of different stuff, and I was able to design my own major. And that's why I went there, was because I wanted to study vina. And it just worked out wonderfully. I had a very supportive group of people. And then at Wesleyan University, I'm right at the moment, I'm writing a PhD dissertation at Wesleyan about music in a fictional New England village.
But
I'm actually doing it.
So this is your research project, essentially.
Sort of.
Right,
it wasn't originally, but it kind of came together because the time period that I'm looking at in the mid-19th century, that was when people kind of invented the New England village. The village green with the congregational church and the two-story houses and the shop, you know, the blacksmith shop, and it wasn't a real place really in New England, or certainly wasn't the main kind of place that people lived. They lived in way out farmsteads and things like that, but the kind of the search for like the soul of the nation, you know, who are we as a country, led people, I think, in part to come up with this mythic New England village that then all the suburbs were modeled on.
So this dissertation, I assume, is going to suggest how a fictional place really pulls together the collective of the soul of New England, at least, and
yeah,
a lot longer.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's a real historical occurrence that revolves around these fictions. And you know, there's so many, I mean, maybe it's a kind of an academic thing to be messing with that, but it's also something that I think is that people can relate to, just those weird moments when you just can't even tell, like you can't even trust your own memory or the reason why you believe something, you know.
And this topic has been approved by your committee.
It has indeed. It has indeed. It's much less fictionalized than it sounds. It revolves around a real musical practice called old folks concerts. It was senior citizens in the 1850s who basically invented a pop music fad of singing old music, usually in costume, and in the process partook in this kind of inventing of what New England was, what it was to be American before anybody was really sure. Well, not that we're sure now.
Well, now I'm curious. Send me a copy when you're done.
Yeah, I will.
If you like. Yeah, because, unless it's really a whole lot more academic than it sounds like it might
be. It's got some jokes in it.
Okay. Tim Erickson's live with us here on Live and Local, along with fiddler Zoe Darrow and percussionist Peter Irvine. They'll be playing in Urbana tonight, and hopefully we're giving you a pretty good flavor of some of what's going to go on there. Yeah. What do you want to do next?
I want to play you a song called Follow the Birds, and this is completely unambiguous. It's just about the seasons changing and about following the birds. My brother lives on a boat, and I kind of wrote it with him in mind and just with the birds in mind.
Over to find pebbled landing, then fall.
harbor the heron and tern. The harbor the heron and tern. Again, home at the first scent of summer. Oh. On the breath of the red wing, the night jar and the hummer. Oh. Sail again home at the first scent of summer. On the breath of the red wing, the night jar and the hummer. And on the car. And all I'm calling you are like sunshine the wren, like sunshine the wren, dark hemlock the beery, dark hemlock the beery, the beery, the harbor the heron and tern, the harbor the heron and tern. The harbor, the heron, the raven, follow the birds.
Follow the birds. Tim Erickson and the trio to Pumpkin Town here live on Live and Local. You know, we've heard a lot about Tim. We've heard a tiny little bit about Peter. I'm actually a little bit curious about Zoe. What's your musical background?
I started with classical when I was little tiny, and I decided that classical music wasn't quite my thing, and I started studying Cape Breton fiddle when I was 7, and I've been taking workshops and traveling ever since, looking for music.
And did you study music in college?
I studied anthropology, and anthropology of music, that was my kind of... I did that instead. I didn't want to do Western theory.
And, you know, I heard half a sentence of how they found you, but how did you find them to get involved in this sort of thing? I mean, did you suspect that the Cape Breton music would lead you in this direction?
Did not suspect, but I was living in the area and had heard the music and knew they were about, but was totally surprised when they asked me to play.
And how has this journey been for you? Has it required much adaptation? Tim, is Eric laughing? I don't really know why.
We're just laughing because the people we were staying with last night were saying that they think that she's got Stockholm syndrome. She's been held captive for the last 10 days or so.
It's been pretty wild, and I have had to adapt a lot, but it's been wonderful.
Okay, then. Peter, a little bit of your background, aside from having done a lot of music with Tim.
Yeah, most of my musical history involves Tim in one way or another. I started off, you know, playing in school in, you know, the concert band and stuff. And my first summer out of college...
Percussion?
Percussion. I had no idea what to do for the summer, the first year out of college. I went home to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And I answered one of those ads in a music store, you know, the poster with the little thing you rip off, and to play drums in a country band, never having played country music or listened to it, but they needed a drummer, and I needed something to do.
You needed a job.
And that was a very interesting experience involving very, very seedy situations. But playing, you know, 4 sets of music a night that you don't know, so you learn fast. That was fruitful.
And how did you migrate to Massachusetts?
Well, I was actually born in Massachusetts, so I returned home to go to college and tried to start a band using a little bit of that country influence, and met a friend who played banjo and turned out to be a guitar player, and then we recruited Tim thinking he was a bass player, and a couple years later realized, oh, he can also play guitar. Oh, and he can sing.
And where did Saskatchewan go? I thought you said returned to Saskatchewan. Is that where you went to college?
Oh, sorry. No, I returned back to Massachusetts. I lived in Massachusetts, went to high school in Saskatchewan.
Oh, okay. This is a compliment. I'm losing the thread here, so that's fine.
It's much easier if we just keep stick with Pumpkin Town. It's all lies. Once we try to tell the truth, it becomes unbearably impossible.
Well, we are to the point that I was hoping we would get, which is two fiddles. Are we going to have two fiddles in this tune?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. What's this tune? Where does it come from?
Friendship comes from Western Mass. Period. Ready? And.
Great song. I don't know that I've ever heard that before.
One of my favorites, yeah.
Friendship with Tim Erickson and the Trio to Pumpkin Town. They'll be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana for a show that starts at 6:30 with the Young and the Fretless, which is a local string band, and then the trio will come on at about 7:30 for a couple of hours as a presentation of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, and we've been really pleased to have them on the show live. You might think of what you want to end up with to take us out. As I'm going to do one little announcement here, and then a real quick calendar of some other things you can go see and hear live in the next couple of days. Our broadcast today is made possible by these business partners: Christopher Thorpe of Gibson City, A-Plus Farms Limited of Pine Village, and Provena Covenant Medical Center of Urbana. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much for your support. Tonight at 7:30 at Smith Memorial Hall in the University of Illinois campus in Urbana, Ian Hobson will continue his presentation of Johannes Brahms' instrumental music involving piano. There's also a Ghanaian dance and drumming workshop at Channing Murray Foundation on campus in Urbana this evening at 7:30. The musical Spring Awakening is going to be presented at the U of I at the Krannert Center tomorrow at 7:30 and continuing through the rest of the week. U of I Percussion Ensemble also at the Krannert Center tomorrow evening at 7:30. Illinois Wesleyan University Chamber Singers are performing at Evelyn Chapel at Westbrook Auditorium in Bloomington tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And the 11th Annual International Capoeira Conference at UI begins tomorrow at 7 o'clock. I'm sure you can find the complete schedule, which is rather complicated, online. Those are just some of the things you can go see and hear in our listening area over the next couple of days. You are listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. We are a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And I had better tell you that there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 8 o'clock tonight for Champaign, Coles, Piatt, and Vermilion counties. Other counties in the watch are Douglas, Edgar, and Effingham. And hopefully we won't get interrupted for the next couple of minutes before we launch into All Things Considered.
Yeah, we'll sing you an old hymn from the state of Maine. And if that doesn't get us to 5 o'clock, we'll play you a tune.
Okay.
It's a short one, short and loud.
Enlisted in the cause of sin, why should all good be evil? Music, alas, too long has been pressed to obey the devil. Pressed to obey the devil. Music, alas, too long has been pressed to obey the devil. Come, let us try if Jesus' love will not as well inspire us. This is the theme of those above. This upon earth shall fire us. This upon earth shall fire us. This is the theme of those above. This upon earth shall fire us. Heaven already is begun, open in each believer. Only believe and still sing on. Heaven is ours forever. Heaven is ours forever. Only believe and still sing on. Heaven is ours forever.
Tim Erickson, Zoe Darrow, and Peter Irvine on Live and Local. They are the Trio to Pumpkin Town. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks
on the
so much
show.
For having us. It's great talking with you.
And check them out at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, 6:30 tonight.